All right, ladies. Up.
This is Jason Albert, and you're listening to Nordic Nation from Faster Skier. In this episode, we connect with Swedish national team skier Hanna Falk. At 28 years old, this past season, Falk finished third overall in the World Cup sprint standings. From her local ski club in Ulricehamn to ski venues across the globe, Falk proved early on she could contend with the world's best. Yet her trajectory hasn't always been a positive slope. Hers is a good lesson in perseverance and patience. So first off, who are you and how old are you and where are you based right now?
Okay, my name is Hanna Falk and I'm a skier from Sweden and I'm 28 years old. I grew up in Ulricehamn, but right now I live in Falun.
Why are you based in Falun? Is that a place where lots of either national team athletes are based, or is there just a good training group for you?
I think it's both. It's common to live in Östersund or in Falun when you are a Swedish skier. You can also live in other places, but I found it good to live here in Falun. It's we have a great training group, so I can train with a lot of good skiers between all my training camps and competitions with the team. So I like it here in Falun.
Are you someone on a daily basis, you know, when you have your training plan laid out, do you tend to be someone who will go out and train by themselves and maybe a coach to observe? Or do you most often go out with, you know, an athlete who's a good friend and do a group workout?
It's a little bit different, I think. Sometimes when we have a lot of training camps, then I like to do my own thing when I'm home between the training camps. I maybe have some things just for me that I want to focus on. So then I think it's good to train for myself. But I also have a lot of friends and good skiers here in Falun. So we try to train together and like push each other at home too.
So one of the things, and when I spoke to Charlotte Kalla a few months ago, and she seems to be one athlete who trains, you know, off and on with the national team, but for certain in the past has established a protocol where she's training by herself with her coach and will go to national team camps here and there. Is that an exception, or do you yourself work with a coach outside of the national team, or are you strictly coached by people affiliated with the Swedish national cross-country team?
Yes, I have a personal coach. His name is Niklas Gran. So between all those training camps with the team, he like planned my training and we talk in telephone, but he's not here in Falun. So he lives 5 hours driving in a town called Örnsköldsvik. So it's a little bit special. So I never, sometimes, but not often, see my coach. So it's more like planning what to train and talk about how it feels. So, but then we have some people and like good coaches here in Falun who can like try to help us to do technical work out in the track and out roller skiing and help us maybe to drive us down from intervals when we do that in long uphills. And so I have a lot of people helping me, both in the team here in Falun and also a personal coach. So,
and is that coach who lives 5 hours away someone that you were affiliated with as a junior, or as you were bumped up onto the national team, you were working with him?
Yes, I first met Niklas 2009 when I was in the Swedish B team, with the team under the A team. He kind of was my first trainer and started to help me to get more structure on my training when I was my my first senior year, and yeah, it went very well. So I had very good results my first year with Niklas, and also my first year as a senior. So, but then he went to Finland to train the Finnish sprinters for some years. So then I got couldn't have any more. So, but then he finished his work in Finland, and then I picked him up again. So now, from 3 years ago, we work together, and it's really good. So,
you know, it does seem like a women's team that is very competitive. And, you know, I guess with that in mind, what are your objectives for this next upcoming year? You're coming off a really, you know, third overall in the Sprint World Cup. There's an Olympics, but also keeping in mind that there's many very good skiers on the Swedish national team. If you want to think about the Olympics, what are your goals for that specifically?
It's really like inspiring and motivating me a lot with just thinking it's Olympics this upcoming winter. But last year I got a really good season, and I think I improved a lot in my skiing, and the results was good too. So I'm very happy with that, and hope just to continue train hard, being healthy, and try to get in really good shape in Olympics, and then I hopefully can fight for a medal. So that's my goal.
How would you describe, before I get into some kind of results specifics, how would you describe yourself as a World Cup skier to people in North America who, you know, might know all the statistics on Keegan Randall or Jesse Diggins? How would you introduce yourself to them, and what type of skier you are?
If I would describe myself, I would say I'm my strength is to ski fast, to be strong, and ski with good technique in high speeds. So that's my best part. And maybe if you had asked like 8 years ago, then I would say I'm a sprinter. But right now, I was last season, I was eighth in a distance World Cup. So I think I can ski pretty fast in especially 5 and 10K too. So maybe not only a sprinter, but sprint is still my best discipline. And also for Olympics, the classic sprint is my main goal and like my medal chance, I think.
At least for the women, that in time, there's less specialization, and, you know, not uncommon to see names that are tops in the sprint, also tops in distance. Is that something that, you know, have you have modified your training, or is that, do you think, perhaps just an evolution that everybody's getting stronger and the training's getting better? I'm just kind of curious how maybe it's worked out for you.
I think the sprint discipline had changed a bit from when I started skiing the World Cup. Then it was it was still sprint, but it was more of this short sprints in the cities, and also it wasn't so much double poling. But now I think, especially for the boys, they need to have really steep and long uphills in classic to not only use double poling, and then the girls also need to go the same track. So it's getting harder and harder. And for me, of course, I need to like modify my training a bit, just to work more with the endurance, because I'm always been good at like in the start and to be fast in the track. So I've practiced a lot on my endurance, and right now I feel I can ski both skate and classic in quite hard tracks too. So you need to see how the sport changed a bit, and then I try to like just follow it.
you know, the whole debate of whether or not, like, for example, in Drammen, you know, there was the no double pole zone. But what are your thoughts on, you know, preventing or creating those rules that prevents people from double polling more?
I think it's a hard decision. I'm good at double polling and I like double polling, but I like real skiing, like real classic skiing too. So yeah, it's hard to know how to do, but I think you can see that it's like in the distance race, it's the same girls who's in the top as in the sprint race in this hard conditions and hard tracks. And for me, I would be happy with like if it's one sprint discipline and one distance discipline, but it's not that way anymore. So it's just to train hard and be good in both, I think.
At least for World Cups, I think your first points were in 2010. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. 2009 and 10 was my first real World Cup season.
Okay. And you were ranked fifth overall, it looks like, at the end of that season. So quite a good start to your career. And then it backed off a bit. You were 10th in 2011. And I don't know if you were injured or not, but what happened in 2012?
Yeah, as you said, my career started really quickly. I won the second World Cup. I was skiing in Düsseldorf. So it was my second like senior race. So, and I won the World Cup. So that was a kind of shock start. And also skiing Olympics that year. And then 2011, I think one podium in Liebreck and also had a quite good season. But then 2012, I got sick in October and I got some kind of bacterial infection, really knocked me out. So I tried to ski a little bit in the beginning of that season. I think I maybe did one World Cup or something, but then in after Christmas I decided to not ski anymore that season because I was so tired and I was sick, so it was not a fun time for me when having been on the podium and skiing really fast and being out racing in the World Cup, and then I was just sitting home with no energy, and I struggled just like walk between the sofa and the bed, so it was a hard time.
You know, what was that like being so young and having a really successful year, you know, back in 2010? How did you manage that? And then how did the Swedish national team manage that to have a young skier do so well right off, you know, their first get-go or first full season on the World Cup?
I don't know. I got a lot of help from the Swedish team and like with media and things. But it was hard anyway, or not in that situation. I can see it more from behind and see it. Everything was going so fast. I also won the World Cup after Christmas that year, 2010, and it was a classic sprint, like the last classic sprint before the Olympics, who also was a classic sprint. So to win that competition, there was a lot of media and things, interviews and things to handle for me before the Olympics. So but I think some way you need to start somewhere, and for me it was everything was going so fast, but I think I learned a lot too, who helps me today. So I think it as a good way to start and to learn a lot.
You know, what are some things that you learned that you might help out younger athletes that are all of a sudden they're on that world stage?
When I started skiing that year, I just did my own thing and I was not thinking so much, and I was just skiing, having fun skiing as fast as I can. But then it's so many people who wants to help you and wants to give you advices. And so my thing is just to keep doing what you do and do it for yourself and just have fun. You should not change so much. So, but then it's hard. It's so many things like from the outside who taking part of your life. It's just to try to be yourself and do what you want and just try to train and ski, not to do so many other things. So
after the season where you were, you know, you were sick, did your training change at all? And were your coaches and advisors saying, okay, look, this is going to be a 3-year process? Or did you expect a year later, you know, to have those top results again?
I think when I was sick for a long time, it was like 6 months, then like my motivation was to come back and to ski fast again, because I knew that I've skied fast before, so I knew that I can, but I thought that it was just to start training and then I was back. But you need a little bit more patience than that, I think, and maybe I was a little bit too stressful too, and like I really wanted to come back quickly, but it's important to be patient, and I've learned a lot from that patience is good, and you need to like look from what point you should start and then start from there and not from another place. Like you need to take one step by step.
Is the culture such, you know, in Sweden that there is time to, or one can have that patience, you know, in a place like Norway, where it seems like every other year they're producing, you know, a new star. Do you feel like in Sweden there is that atmosphere where it's okay to take, you know, 2-3 years to get back?
I think it's a little bit different, but from my side, I think the Swedish team really supported me with like both doctors and also I was back in the A team right after my sickness. Maybe it wasn't the best way to start in the A team, but I still got another chance, even if I missed the whole season. So, but then maybe I had really good results too from the past. So it's a lot of good skiers. So you really need to be on top to like at this point to ski World Cup and World Champion and Olympics. But for me, it was like more for myself. I wanted to come back and ski fast again and show myself that I can get through this. And like it was a main goal to get back on the podium on the World Cup. That was my dream to come back, and it took me 6 years. So it was this last season. So it was a quite long time to get back on the podium, and then I finally made it. So it was a good experience.
We hear a lot, and I'm sure other teams have as well, about the culture on the U.S. team and how it's referenced as a model for, you know, team spirit or team unity. You know, I'm curious, what are a few things that other teams could learn from the Swedish national team?
I think it's hard to say when you're in the Swedish team, but as you said, we have had the U.S. Ski team as a little bit as a role model, because from the outside it seems like they have a really good team spirit and they are pushing each other and helping each other. In the Swedish team, we really improved that the last 2 years and like worked a lot with what you say, team building, and to have a great environment in our training camps and also in the winter. So we're getting better and better, and we work as a team right now. So it's really inspiring to be in that team. But then I think it's another part to be, just have a good training culture and train hard and train with really good quality. And that's, I think, I think we are really good at in the Swedish team.
I know Keegan and Liz, Stephen, were in Sweden to train a few weeks ago. Were you training with those two skiers?
Yes, I trained with Keegan and Liz in Åre and Vålådalen. So both me and the whole team, we were really happy about having them on our training camp in Sweden. So it was real fun.
What do they bring in terms of different personalities to a training group like that?
I think it's a lot. Keegan and Liz, they got like different personalities as everyone else, but they got a lot of energy and they are always happy and they train hard and they are also like willing to share things, even if it's a Swede. And we try to like explain what we do and just be open-minded. So I think it was really good for us and hopefully for them too.
Can you describe a little bit about where you're from? You're from, and I will try not to mess up this name, but you are from Ulricehamn in Sweden. And what was it like growing up there, and what's the ski culture like? And what was it like being able to ski there in a World Cup?
Yes, I was growing up in Ulricehamn, and it's not a small town, but maybe medium city in south of Sweden. So when I was young, it wasn't skiing was the first choice to, like when you're doing a sport, you maybe doing football or track and field and orienteering or something. But we also got a small ski club. To be honest, it's not the best winter in Ulricehamn. It can be a good winter, but there can also be almost no snow the whole winter. But then we have a really good like system for artificial snow and a lot of people who love skiing in Ulricehamn. So I got the chance to ski and try to ski and then found it funny to ski. So I continue with that. So
it's this past year you had an opportunity to ski a World Cup there. And, you know, just from going through the FIS results, you were, I think you were the anchor for the Swedish relay team. So did that kind of surprise you? And you know, what was that experience like in front of the home crowd?
Yes, it was just a dream for me to ski the World Cup in Ulricehamn. And when I saw like the FIS program that it was one distance race and one relay in Ulricehamn, that was a thing that really motivating me in the training to like not only ski sprint for me, to I wanted to ski distance race too. Just to take a part of this whole ski party back in Ulricehamn. So, and also I had a like goal to take part of the relay team, and yeah, it went out well. So I was skiing the last lap number four for the Swedish team. So it was really happy, and it was 30,000 people just cheering for all of us. So it was a really cool experience.
You know, you obviously are coming off a strong year. Are you changing anything specifically for Pyeongchang in terms of, you know, working on a weakness or, improving a strength as it relates to the Olympic course?
I try to like focus a little bit more on classic skiing, especially in technique, and I also know that the sprint course is quite hard, and you need to be good at the uphills, and the uphills are quite long too. So I try to focus a bit on that, but overall, it's I try to do a lot of training and just train hard to be a stronger skier, and then hopefully I'm in good shape in Pyeongchang.
Well, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Falk interview and subscribing to Nordic Nation.